Welcome to another message from God's Holy Word. We are studying the Gospel of Matthew from the Greek text, Katamathion, and it is very beautiful. The stories, the vividness of the life of the people that follow Jesus. We're going to talk about the key to greatness or shame or defeat. The key to greatness or defeat or shame. In the next few verses, we will see two opposites at work. We're going to see a woman that was a sinner, that is grateful for her Savior and her life in Christ, and her future substitute, Jesus Christ. She realized that Jesus was God the Son, and that He was the only way for her to make it to heaven, to be with God, and to please God with our lives. This is our first message in our new home. It is not finished by long shot yet, and this is not the final recording room. But thank you for your prayers. Now, as we read this from the Greek language, and then we go translate it from the English, I want you to see two characters, two opposites. In life, there are negatives and there are positives. In electricity, there is negative and positive. And here are two people, just like negative and positive. Tude Jesus genomenu, en Bethania, en oikia, Simonas tu lepro, but Jesus, having become to Bethany, in the household of one who hears, that's Simon, the one that had been a leper. This man had been cured of leprosy. Evidently, leprosy had not taken all of his wealth from him. Maybe he had not had leprosy for a very long period of time. He might have been a wealthy man. But at any rate, he was now in Simon the leper's house. And Simon was grateful. He was grateful for the gift of life that Jesus had given him. Once a person was pronounced or diagnosed with leprosy, there was no hope. Only hope there was God, God's healing hand. And Jesus had healed this man of leprosy. 26 and verse 7. Now we meet another person. Another person that is grateful. Proselthein autogene, akousa alabastron, miro baritimu, kai kata ekein, epites kafales autu, Anna K. Menu. Now, a woman having approached Jesus, or him, having an alabaster vial of ointment, alabastron. We get a word alabaster right out of this. Alabaster is a workable stone. And they use alabaster for many things. It was not a precious metal, but somewhat a semi-precious metal, or not metal, but stone, after it had been turned into an object. And alabaster, there were many vials. There were windows made out of alabaster. The pyramids of Egypt were covered with alabaster, and they shone like mirrors before the alabaster had been taken off of them, and and taken off into other parts of Europe. Having an alabaster vial or of ointment, very, very expensive, Baru Timu, very expensive. And she poured down upon the head of him while he was laying up. That's what it says here. Now, we have to realize, now, in the future, I'm going to have a blackboard here where I can show you. This is actually the dining room in our new home, and it's not the recording room is not ready yet, so we could not record in there. But over here, if you can imagine, up here is a table. The table is very short, like this. And people would be laying up to this like a coffee table, and they would be eating. They would be laying on their left side and eating with their right hand. Now, to us in America or Australia or China or wherever you are today, that's unusual. Now, in China and Japan, sometimes they cross their legs and they sit down at a very short table. But these people were laying up. Now, Jesus is laying up to this table, and his feet are behind him. If you can imagine, here's a little table like this, and the man's face is toward the table. He's laying on his left side, and now his feet go out. And now the woman walks up, and he walks between him and someone else, and she takes and she pours an alabaster vial of very precious perfume on his head. Now, they did not have chairs, so to speak, at this time while they were eating. So all of them are laying up to the table. And all of them are looking up at this woman. The woman is walking or kneeling now, and she's pouring this alabaster ointment, this very precious ointment in an alabaster jar, upon Jesus' head. Now, Judas Iscariot is enraged. Verse 26 and verse 8. Edontes de hoi mathete, ega nak teson, legontes esti he apolia aute. Moreover, having seen the disciples, now sometimes all it takes is one rat to get things rolling. Just one rat to get things going. One rat can cause a riot. So the rat that's involved here is Judas Iscariot. By the way, Judas means praise Jehovah. That's a real good name. Iscariot means a name from Kerioth. It means a man from Kerioth. And having seen this, the disciples, they became angry, saying, now here we'll have the word ace there in Greek. Ace means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Saying, because we would have to do this, this is looking back on the object and the verb, and because what? The waste, the apolia, the total waste. This is the total absolute waste. We never waste our time, nor our substances, nor our wealth, when we are worshiping and serving God. I know at this moment that I am directly into center of God's will, because I am serving Him, preaching His word. All day long I've been looking for this time. The key to greatness or shame. The key to greatness or shame. Now this woman has done a great deed. Mm-hmm. This ointment that she has poured on Jesus was probably ointment that she had bought for her own burial. And people would save up a whole lifetime preparing for their burial. And now this woman thanks so much of Jesus that she's going to take her burial policy and burn it. She's going to take her burial policy and just throw it away and forget about the material world, and she's going to just pour her heart out to God. They were angry. verse 9, 26 and verse 9, idonato gar tuto prothene polu kai dothene tokois. And they're saying, for this is such a, this is a powerful means. This would have been a powerful means to feed and take care of the poor. This was much money. This money has power, doesn't it? Doesn't the money have power? Mm-hmm. You go into a city, any city, and you go there, and you'll see people that have big houses and shiny houses, so to speak. They're very fabulous homes. And then you will see shacks. And if you look out in front of the beautiful homes, there will be better driveways and there are better roads. I remember a man told me years ago, he was a very wealthy man, a very affluent man. And he'll say, he sold me, I drove up to his business. And his business was out in the country. And there were all dirt roads there. They had street signs, but everybody had a dirt road except for him. And he had a paved road. And I asked him, why is your road paved? He said, because I went down to the supervisor's meeting. And I made sure that these men had a little extra in their paychecks. And I told them that I needed something from them. And I wanted to have a paved road to my business. And so he got a paved road to his business. Because he was wealthy and he was affluent. Now this woman, there are two different occasions where Jesus was anointed. One of them was Mary Magdalene, the other one was Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. Now, both of these women need to be saved. Mary Magdalene had been what we call a courtesan or a high-class prostitute. She was wealthy. Now, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were also wealthy. But a burial cost a lot of money. And this woman sacrificed beyond her needs to honor her Lord and Savior. To honor her Lord and Savior. For this material object had a lot of wealth in it, and we could have given this to the destitute and the poor people. The patokois there. That means people that cannot take care of themselves, or that the blind and crippled and maimed people, that many of them, when they use this word patokois, they were unable to even go to the side of the road and to beg. They were unable to do that. They couldn't get there. Someone had to carry them there. There was a man one time his friends brought him to where Jesus was healing people and speaking in a house. And these people carried this man there on a stretcher. And they couldn't get into the house, so they went on top of the house and they dug through the roof. Now I'm sure they're going to go back and fix the roof. But they dug through the roof. And they knew that Jesus could heal this man. And this man definitely needed healing. Verse number 10. Nous de hoi Jesus epan autois ti kopus. Parikete te genekis ergon gar kolon ergasato eis eme. And having known, or moreover having known Jesus, their hearts, he said to them, why do you beat this woman up? Why do you trouble? Why do you beat this woman? Why are you trying to give her the knockout punch? The word kopos there means to beat and to make someone suffer. Why are you trying to make this woman suffer? I want you to understand this. The woman has performed a work good. She has done it. She has accomplished a good work. For me. For me. What did Judas ever do for Jesus? What did Judas ever do for Jesus? He is a church treasurer. One time, a long time ago, we had a church treasurer. She was a woman, and her name was Judy. Now, Judy is feminine for Judas, or Jude, or Judah. And I always tease her about that. Judas had never done anything for the church. He had stole from the church. He deceived the church. He stole. And he was the one, the ringleader in this bunch right now that's causing the trouble. He said, this woman has done a good work for me. Because of me, actually. This woman has done a good work because of me. The woman saw something that was about to happen. This woman, Jesus had been telling all of them that he's going to die. And he's going to be crucified. And she knows that he's going to face a terrible death. And she's troubled. And she is brokenhearted. And all the rest of them, I mean, just before this, Jesus told all of them that he's going to die. But no one cared. No one was worried except this woman. Pan tote gar tos patokos ekete meth hioton. Eme de u pan tote ekete. For always the ones, beggars and poor and destitute, you're going to have always. You're always, every generation will see the poor people. Now let me say this also. That no one has ever starved to death in the world because there's not enough food. No one has ever starved to death in the world because there's not enough food. The only reason why people starve to death is because of greed of those that have it. You're always going to have the poor with yourselves, but me, not always you're going to have. The Old Testament law was set up in such a way as to level society. No one could ever get far ahead of the others because the rich people that were gaining more and more land the seventh year, they had to leave their land vacant of any work. And anything that came up there, whether it was a vineyard or an orchard or a field, anything that came up there, the wild animals could eat it. And the poor could go in there and get it. So the man was taxed 1/7. Not only was he taxed 1/7, but he was also had to give a tithe. And the tithe supported the priests and the Levites. If he bought a man in slavery and he was a fellow man, he had to turn him loose after so many years. So the man also, if you had to sell your property after a certain amount of time, your property would revert to you. Now this didn't happen like the law said. But God was trying to level society and keep the rich from getting richer and the poor and destitute from becoming poorer. Belusagar aute to meron tu to epi tu samatos mu pros to en ta fiasa. May Epoiesis. For she has poured or sprinkled the ointment, this, upon me, for the body of me, for the purpose of to prepare me for burial. Enta thiasse. That means to embalm. Now, they did not embalm people back then like they do today, but they would clean their bodies, they would pour perfume on them, and they'd wrap them all up. Down in Egypt, they disemboweled them, they did all kinds of stuff, but here, they would take the body, they would wrap it up, and in the what we call the swaddling or the grave clothes or wrappings, they would put spices and things and pour it all over them. Embalm them that way. And she did it. She has performed this. Verse number 13. Amen legohimen hupoion kerukte to yongalion tuto and holon te cosmo. La la sete kai ha epoiesen haute ace meno me sinon autes. The difference between greatness and shame is right here. The difference and the ability of greatness to become great and become shameful or a disgrace is this: self-centeredness. People that are selfish. Now, there are many people that are selfish that become very great. They are. But let's look at these individuals here. Now, there are three individuals involved altogether in this group. There is Simon, the one that had been a leper and that had been healed. And he was gracious, and he had turned his house over to Jesus so that he could minister there. There was this woman that had been forgiven of her sins, whether she was Mary Magdalene or Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And then there was Judas. And Judas had tried to incite a opposition or a riot, so to speak. He told them that all this money was being wasted by pouring this on Jesus. Jesus wasn't worth it. What is Jesus worth in your life? What would you do with Jesus? What would you do without Jesus? There are many people in the world that are great men and great women. There are many great men and great women that are very selfish and wicked. Very many rich families that become very rich because of crookedness or deceit. The last message that I preached was dishonest gain, perjury, and murder. Dishonest gain, perjury, and murder. Amen, I say to you, wherever it may be preached, the gospel, this gospel, in all the whole world, it shall be spoken also what this woman has done for my memorial. What this woman has done for my memorial. I have many great men in my life that I have known. Dr. Travis Hubbard, Dr. Darius Sherwood Madden, Dr. Hoyt Chastain. We see these people, and I saw them, I lived with them. I saw the sacrifice of their lives. Dr. Carl Farrar. I saw the sacrifice of the lives they lived for one thing in this world, and that is for Jesus Christ. Brother Madden was a selfless person. He had a good job. He was a salesman and a tailor in a large company back in Louisiana. And he gave all that up to be a pastor. He went to school. He earned a doctorate. And he went out pastoring churches. And he'd go to church and preach. And sometimes he thought the church gave him too much money. And he'd tell the church every now and then, I tell you, brother and sisters, he'd say, why don't you just pay my bills? That's all I need. Just pay my bills. You can have the rest of it. Do something with it. Send it to on the mission field. He didn't want to be given too much. Dr. Benjamin Marcus Bogard was a wealthy man. He was a good businessman. He was a preacher. He was in Ripley's, believe it or not. He preached more sermons than any other preacher preached without missing a Sunday. And I can't remember how many years it was, 70 years or something. Never missed a message. Never missed a Sunday. He built a seminary. He built a printing press, the Bogard Press. When he died, he gave all of his money to the seminary to preach, to train preachers how to preach God's Word and to preach the Word of God. And at that time, the greatest ministry in that was advanced theology, systematic theology, what we might call the Bible in the Ages or dispensational theology. And Greek and Hebrew. When he died, he didn't leave any money to even bury him. He had a burial plot. Well, the students in the seminary took up a collection and they buried their teacher and their great example of life in this world. And they bought him a headstone. He didn't leave any money for that. He didn't care. His journey was gone. The secret to greatness or shame. Man was a great man. A great man. I look back in history and I see Jesus, of course, the greatest example of selflessness. He had one purpose in this world, and that was to preach the gospel. And to die for you and me. We look back in history. We see a band called Stonewall Jackson. Robert E. Lee's right hand man. A great man, a great warrior. Today, the South is looked upon as slave owners, but the Civil War was not over slavery, it was over states' rights. Over democracy. And those states wanted to be just left alone and leave there. And it was brought in, the act of slavery was brought in as the reason for the war, which it wasn't. Robert E. Lee, in history, to me, is one of the greatest men that ever lived. He knew Jesus. Jesus was very important to him. Prayer was part of his life. He was the superintendent of West Point. All the soldiers, all the leaders in the Civil War on both sides were trained by Robert E. Lee. He had several daughters. The daughters didn't get married. You know why they didn't get married? Marilyn wasn't because they were shut off from society. It wasn't because, now you were shut off from society. You were locked up. You get married and you wanted to get married. That these girls said that there wasn't a man in this world that was equal to their father and they wouldn't settle for less. There wasn't a man in this world. Now, their father brought men, soldiers, home for dinner. And the boys would be scared to death. These are these beautiful girls. And here's this great man. Leading out in religious worship and prayer during this dinner, this supper. beautiful girls all around, and they were afraid to even ask one of them out or for a date or just to actually, you courted people back then. It wasn't dating, you courted them. They were so embarrassed by his greatness that they were ashamed to ask him for the right to court his daughters. And the daughters never met a man equal to their father ever. He was brave in war. Zachary Taylor said he was the greatest warrior and general of all time. He gave up everything in this world and chose to side with democracy and states' rights with his native Virginia. They called upon him to be the general leading them in war, which he did not want. Robert E. Lee did not want war. He did not want separation. But his family, and this man's family goes back to Washington. Washington, General George Washington was his hero, and it was his wife's relative. She was a descendant of those. Martha Washington, I believe. The war cost Lee everything. Everything. His home, his land, his family, his honor in so many ways. What he did during the Civil War was great. In leadership, he whipped everybody. If Sherman and Grant had not broke the rules of war, they would have never whipped Lee. But they began to devastate the civilians and burn the civilians' farms. Lee said he knew that the South could not win, but he had to go along with them for them to understand that they couldn't win. The greatest leadership in the world was on his side. The generals that fought against him knew that they were fighting a master. And all of them respected him. General Grant, when he surrendered at Appomattox, took his hat off. All the soldiers took their hat off with tears in their eyes when he walked in there to sign that treaty. Surrender. He was great. And that's just when greatness began. Because after the war, one general, one officer after another called him, "What are you going to do, Lee? What are you going to do, General Lee?" He said, "Well, I'm going to sign the surrender. I am going to be a citizen, a loyal citizen. I'm going to do everything for the United States of America that I can do to make it great again. And whatever shame that they may slap my face with, I will take it with a smile." Soldiers went to him just to shake his hand. Wherever he went, he only lived for a few more years. He became president of Washington University. He did his best to train men and women to be good citizens of the United States of America. The United States of America. He lost, and he was a gracious loser because he was a great man, because he was selfless. He gave himself for his country, and he gave himself to restore his country. Every one of the soldiers asked him. One young man came up to Lee, and he says, "Will you say that you were a traitor and all this kind of stuff and sign this document?" And he said, "Yes, I want to do anything that I can do to put this nation back together. I want it to place it in greatness again. I don't want it to fall." He said, "Should I sign that oath of allegiance?" And he said, "Yes, I did." Well, that soldier went home. And his father said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I signed the Pledge of Allegiance. I told him I was wrong." His father told him, "You'll be a disgrace for the whole history of your family. Why did you do such a thing?" He said, "General Lee told me he did, and I should And the father looked at him just shocked. He said, well, if General Lee told you to do it, it's got to be okay. It's got to be okay. Greatness. The greatness was in the sacrifice. The greatness was in the selflessness. The selflessness. Let's read this little story here in the 26th chapter from verse number 6 through 15. Now when Jesus came back to Bethany and was in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very precious perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant with the leadership of Judas, because we know another place it was Judas that caused the trouble, saying, for what purpose is all this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor. A waste. I talked about great men in my life. General Robert E. Lee is one of the greatest examples of Christianity that I ever saw. A selfless man. I mentioned Dr. Benjamin Marcus Bogart. A selfless man. Dr. Bogart would take personal interest in his students. This is not a joke. This is not a story. It's the truth. Dr. Bogard would go and he would support many of the students and pay their tuition, buy their books. But he would go to the houses where they would stay and look in the garbage can and see if they were wasting anything. One boy that he was supporting had thrown out a loaf of bread. The package of the loaf of bread came in with the two heels there. That Wednesday night, Dr. Bogart brought those two heels and the loaf of bread and talked about waste. Yeah. Waste. He couldn't stand waste. Well, the waste here was not a waste of time, not a waste of wealth, because this woman had given a lot for the purpose of glorifying her Savior and Lord. For this perfume might have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, fully aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? Why do you beat her up? She has done a noble and praiseworthy and beautiful thing for me. For you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Sometimes we have poor because the poor are lazy. Sometimes we have poor because the poor are kept in that position by the rich. And sometimes we have poor because of disabilities. And the Lord in the law of Moses provided for them. You always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. In other words, you can do a great deed later. One of the things that we're supposed to do is what? Love our neighbor as herself and provide for him when he needs help. In pouring this perfume upon my body, she has done something to prepare me for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news, the gospel is preached throughout the whole entire world, forever, what this woman has done for me will also be told in memory of her. Jesus would inspire the writer Matthew to write this down. In the 26th chapter, he would inspire Matthew to write it down. Now let's go on a little further. The price of greatness or shame. The price of greatness or shame. Our Heavenly Father, I send this message out. We've learned what it takes to be great. Now we're going to learn the recipe for shame and defeat and dishonor. Father, I send this message out to honor and glorify you. Father, I pray for all my students out there in the world that you touch their lives with this message, that you have them give more than they have given from their lives, their time, and from their wealth. Help them to glorify you with it. Help them to become great in your eyes, not so much in the world, but in the eyes of God. Father, forgive me where I fail you, please. Help me and urge me onward to preach your word and to glorify you with it. In Jesus' name.